To the welcome that you've already received, not just from Ken, but perhaps from an usher and all, let me add my welcome. We count it a privilege to gather with you this morning and see what God would have for us. So welcome to Jericho Road. You know, we come to church for different reasons, of course. First of all, there's a reason that the Lord calls us to do that. He said to not forsake the gathering together of the saints, the believers. And so perhaps you respond to the Lord's call to do so this morning. That's great. Perhaps you're here because you're hungry. You just know in your heart, your spirit, you need some refreshment. You're spiritually thirsty. You come for that reason. Maybe you come for comfort, just some encouragement, some comfort. Maybe you come just recognizing the need to be challenged or grow a little bit. You want to know the Lord better. There's all kinds of things. Maybe you just come because you want to rejoice. You want to celebrate. All those are important, valid reasons. It would be my prayer that that reason would be met. That God would touch you right where you're at this morning. And we'd all make sure we don't come short of all God would have for us. So welcome. May He have free reign in this place and in our hearts this morning. Anybody know what that is? How many here can't live without one of these? That's a cell phone. That's my particular phone. And by the way, don't one of you right now say, oh, I'm going to call him and just make it ring. I'll make it ring right in front of him. I've got it on mute, so that won't work. So don't try that. But I want to ask you about that. I mean, and this isn't a trick thing, but how many here, if this cell phone is indeed, and it is, should be, hooked up to the Wi-Fi or the service is going on, paid my bills and all that stuff, and it's up and running and all, how many here believe that I could receive a phone call on that? If it's, I'm not trying to trick you, if it's working, how many believe that? A lot of you don't. Either you don't have a phone or you don't trust your phone very much. But if it's working like it should, how many believe I can receive a phone call? Yeah, because that's what it's for and we understand that. You don't have any problem with that. Or like maybe some music. I mean, let me pause for a moment. I barely use a thousandth of what this thing could probably do. Now, Cassie, I mean, she's kind of known as the techie around here. And she does things, all these things. There's so much available, isn't there, on this? I mean, her phone, she does everything but cook dinner on it. I mean, it's great what she can do on there. But the point is, I mean, you can get music on here, I can get news, I can get all kinds of things with all the social media stuff going on, phone calls, of course. It used to actually be just phones, but now there's everything going on. You know that. And so you understand and you have no problem. Raise your hand. Yes, you can receive a phone call on that right now. But this is rhetorical, but I want to think about a couple of things. First of all is, how in the world can you even believe that? How can you believe that one of you could pick up some similar device, put some numbers, and somehow your voice is going to end up here? How does that happen? How do you believe that? And yet, we take it very much for granted. How do those things get in my phone? Well, Pastor, it's like this. They're called cell phones. It stands for cellular. That's kind of a radio signal, radio waves, and signals going on all over the place. And so, sure enough, it starts out at that person's phone, goes off a satellite somewhere or a cell tower somewhere, travels through the air, and winds up right here. No problem. So you mean to say that right now you believe there are invisible waves going through this room with people's voices that'll end up in here? You actually believe that? And you say, yeah, because most of us use it every day, often. We understand that's very much the case. You know that if you called me right now, it would get a reception and all. It would come through. We have no problem with that. None of us are shocked by my just saying that, by that example. Again, why? Because we understand that there are signals. We'll capture that idea of radio signals and all. There are signals going right through the air all the time. There are cellular signals, radio signals. If you go out to your car, turn on the radio. Yes, some people still actually use the radio. You turn on the radio, you understand that given the right situations, you'll get the ball game on there or something. You understand that. That these radio waves are going on, carrying people's voices, and it can wind up right there in your car or in your phone or wherever it might be. We understand that there are the signals to the listening devices. We have listening devices available. If you're hard of hearing, you can listen through that. Which means that those signals are going around in here. We sometimes use walkie-talkies for the children's ministry to communicate with the teachers and all. There are those signals going on. I can't really use the example of a television because everybody's hooked up to cable nowadays. But there was a day when John Wayne and a stagecoach was going right through the air to wind up at your television if you had your antenna up. And we understand that, and you go, yeah, we get it. Pastor, I hope you have more for us this morning, Pastor, than that, because we know all that. But I want to think about something here in terms of application. We can't see any of that, but we have no problem understanding that they're very real and that they're going on all around us right now. There are people's voices going through the room, so to speak, in the form of signals and all. But we understand that. They're going on all around right now. What I want to think about this morning is that in the very same way, there are spiritual realities going on all around us in the same way right now. Unseen, but very, very real. And for many of us, though those things are realities, the spiritual realities, though they are realities, too often we don't live in awareness of them. For some of us, we would give lip service saying, yes, I recognize that, but we forget it. We don't pay attention to those spiritual realities. And because of that, we don't tune in, so to speak. We don't pay attention to those spiritual realities. And that, in turn, leads to a place where we can find ourselves struggling with doubt and discouragement, fear, and all of it's needless. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings. We're going through the book of 2 Kings. We're going through Elisha, that awesome prophet of God. We're in chapter 6. Turn in 2 Kings chapter 6 this morning. We're going to jump in at verse 15, and then after this, we'll go back and set the context. But just for a focus, we're in chapter 6 of 2 Kings 6. Excuse me, we're in 2 Kings 6. We're in verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. I've called our time together this morning. Lord, I pray, open our eyes. Father, to that end, we pause now. As you've kind of set the table for us, help us now, Lord. Because we confess so many things can distract. Situations and circumstances of life can tug upon us. But Lord, our great need now is to hear from you. So Lord, lift those things off of us and help us to just that, to hear, Lord. Help us be not just open of mind, but open of heart. And speak as you would, Lord. Help us indeed to not miss what you'd have in this time, Lord. Lord, you're active and you're working. You're all around us. I pray for this time, Lord, we be that much more aware of it and tuned in to you. So lead, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back and set the table now. Go back to verse 8. We're in 2 Kings chapter 6. Let's look at the context. Go back to verse 8, if you would. Now the king of Syria, a neighboring country to Israel, was making war against Israel. And he consulted with his servants, saying, "My camp will be in such and such a place." At this point, oftentimes what happened is this neighboring country, Syria, they would do raids. They would attack in little areas of Israel. And so the king said, "Okay, let's go to such and such place in Israel. Let's go attack that part of it." Verse 9. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there." Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place at which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. So often this would happen. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" He says, "Look, what's going on? Who's the traitor?" He gets everybody together, and he says, "Every time we go to do something, Israel's on to us. They move. They don't get caught. Which one of you guys is a traitor? Who's telling the king of Israel what I'm up to here?" Verse 12. And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. It's not us, king. It's that prophet Elijah over there in Israel. God shows him everything, down to what you say in your bedroom. He knows it. And that's who's warning Israel that we want attack and all. The king of Syria, natural response, who's a traitor? They respond, not us. It's that prophet over there. It's Elisha. He's ratting us out. God's telling them what we're going to do and all. So what's the king do? The king of Syria, verse 13. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. Now pause, think about that. God warns Elisha every time, and now the guy says, go get him, as if he's not going to know. Elisha's not going to know about this one either. Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. So the king of Syria sends troops down to capture Elisha in Dothan. Verse 14. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Elisha's servant gets up in the morning, looks out, and hears all this army of the Syrians surrounding he and his master Elisha. And the servant panics. Basically, his response is, we've had it. Elisha, we've had it. What are we going to do? It was some time back, I remember, that one of our grandchildren, one of our granddaughters, when she was a little younger, she was over and she was helping Kathy in the kitchen there. She's actually sitting up on the sink and they were making something. And I don't know if something got knocked over or they ran out of some ingredient or something. But I still remember her little voice, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I can almost hear the servant, same thing, what are we going to do? We've had it. He looks down and sees all the enemy's forces. This time, we're cooked. We've had it. How are we going to get out of this one? But let's not be too quick to judge this response from the servant of Elisha. Because in a lot of ways, he can represent us. Don't answer out loud, but just to be considered for a moment. But who here can't relate to this servant's reaction? Because what's the situation? The servant is a person who's looking at his circumstances and everything he can see, everything that he's aware of, has brought him to only one conclusion. I'm in trouble. We're in trouble. There's way more than us. I don't see any way out. His conclusion is a very natural decision. And others might concur with him. Yep, you're in big trouble here. Because that's what he conclusion he comes up with. We have had it. This morning, what do you see as you look upon your circumstances today? It's time to make sure we apply some of this as we go through our time. And if it's not a circumstance you're in today, just hang in there. It'll come along real soon. Because life brings circumstances, doesn't it? So often, something comes along that we don't understand why it's going that way. Don't see how we're going to get out of it. How is this going to work out? I don't get it. And it can be in any realm of physical stuff, health things, material things, relationship things, financial things. From natural eyes, we look and go, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I don't see any way out of this one. It's a very normal thing that life can bring along. This morning, I wonder if you're facing one. And if not, I wonder what might be in your future soon. The point is, the man looks at his circumstances, but he looks at them with natural eyes, and he stops there. And because our natural eyes are always limited, it sets this man up for trouble. And as he comes to the wrong conclusion. It's a natural conclusion, one that others might very quickly concur with, if they're also coming from that just the natural way. But it's going to be the wrong conclusion. Verse 16. So he, Elisha, answers his servant, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now, how do you think this servant of Elisha respond, would have responded to that statement? It's okay, servant, it's okay. There's a whole lot more of us than them. You can just picture this servant going, huh? Excuse me, master, but hold a minute, let me do my math. One, two, three, four, five, seven, eight, nine, ten. There's more of us than them? Master, I'm not getting it. It'd be a very natural response. We have more than, where? I don't see it. Where? What are you talking about? I don't see anything but all these other guys' forces, and we're in trouble. But what's Elisha saying to his servant here? What is it that God wants this servant and us to understand as we come up against various circumstances? Verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. I love this story, and you probably do too if you're familiar with it. And it goes on to explain that God then sends a blindness upon the Syrian troops. Elisha takes them all and takes them over to the king of Israel, and they get captured, and the Syrian troops do, and the whole story involved goes from there. But I want to camp on what we've just looked at here. For what is set before us this morning, what it's pointing to, the attempt here is the opening of our spiritual eyes to spiritual realities. We have no problem believing there are signals going through here, people's voices going through here. But do we live in awareness of an even greater truth of the spiritual realities that are going on right now, even though we can't see them with our natural eyes? What's being pointed out here is there is more involved in all this than just what's in the natural realm. There's the realm of the spiritual. There are spiritual realities, but they are spiritually discerned. They are only seen with eyes of faith. Listen to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I've got it on our overheads up here. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Older and older I get, the more I relate to that one. Yep, this old tent's perishing, it's wearing out. But the inner man, thank God, being renewed every day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now watch the next verse. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. He's addressing that issue. Of course, we see things in the natural realm. We live in this material world, and you have to be aware of them or you'll run into the wall. You can't drive. You have to be aware of. We're aware of all these things. But they are temporary. They will pass away. But there's a spiritual reality saying those things are eternal. So there's this, Paul's just highlighting what we're looking at, that there is indeed a spiritual realm that's very real. Elisha's servant here looks on the situation with his natural eyes, and he comes to this conclusion. But again, it's a faulty conclusion. And because of that, it's a conclusion that fills him with fear. Elisha answers the fear with faith. Eyes of faith see what eyes of fear can't. Which eyes are you looking at? Which eyes are you looking through? Eyes of fear see what eyes of faith see what eyes of fear can't. Yes, they may be surrounded by the Syrians, but the Syrians were surrounded by the forces of God. It isn't that Elisha and his servant have had it. It's that the Syrians have had it. They're the ones that are trapped. They're the ones surrounded. Now, having said that, I come to hopefully a crucial point for all of us. Since that's the case, since there is a spiritual realm and world that we're to be aware of, how can we come to see those things? How can you and I be in a place that we're not just aware of that they exist, but they're actually having that viewpoint? How can we learn to see with spiritual eyes? How can we learn to see things the way God wants us to? Boy, how often we need to pray that. Lord, give me your view on things. Give me your take on it, Lord. But how do we get there? How do I do that? How do we get eyes to see spiritual realities? Well, first of all, please understand what I'm not saying. I am speaking of things in the spiritual realm. This servant had a very interesting thing happen. He was allowed to have the curtain pulled back in a very, very real way, pull back to see things in a material way. He got to see spiritual realities in a very material way. That's not what I'm speaking about this morning. Now, if God wants to do that for us sometime, great, let him. If God ever wants to actually say, here, I want to show you something, and wham, there it is, you let him. And be a receiver of whatever he wants to show you. But that's not what we're focusing on. See, the issue here is faith and looking upon things with a trust in God in all of this. It's learning to see with our spiritual eyes things in the spiritual realm. For God has said that he wants us to walk by faith, not just by sight, meaning physical sight. That's by what we see. But he wants us to walk by faith. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. He wants us to value faith. He wants us to trust in him. 1 Corinthians 2, Paul said, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Next verse. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Again, highlight it. There's a spiritual realm. There are spiritual realities. But they're discerned spiritually. The natural man cannot receive these things, cannot understand them. Someone who doesn't know the Lord, and if you're visiting today and you haven't made that decision yet, you're very welcome. But understand that if this isn't something that's going on right now in your life, you might be sort of thinking, these people are weird. And people in the world might chime in, yeah, those Christians believe there's like a spiritual realm. Because it is there. But the natural man can't receive that. The natural man can't understand that dimension because they're spiritually discerned. It takes the Holy Spirit to reveal those things in our lives. Well, how does the Holy Spirit get in our life? How do I make sure that I have him, that third person of the Trinity, in my life in such a way that I can receive? Well, first of all, Ephesians 1 tells us that when you receive, and you and I receive Jesus as Savior, the Holy Spirit moves in. You open the door to the Lord, he takes you up on it. He's a gentleman. He didn't bust it down. Didn't make himself come in. He knocks. But if you receive, you open the door, he comes in. And the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside every believer. At that point, and I am not diminishing the Holy Spirit, but in a sense, at that point, you're issued one of these, in terms of phone way, you're issued one of these, so to speak, spiritually, meaning you now have the Holy Spirit who is there to bring these, following these we're going to talk about, to bring them into our lives, to make us aware of them. One important role of the Holy Spirit, as we'll see, is that aspect of causing us to discern and know things in the spiritual realm. You guys with me? Good. The goal is that we'd all be built up and edified and grow together. That's how you grow. By either reminded of or hearing for the first time what we have and then going out and applying it and living in it. May that be so for all of us. So the Holy Spirit then comes inside every believer. If you're saved, he's in you. And with him, with the Holy Spirit, see, the Holy Spirit wants to guide us, to instruct us, to lead us into spiritual truth is one of the callings of the Holy Spirit. But having said all that, that the Holy Spirit leads us into truth and opens things up to us and all, The fact is, just because he's in us doesn't mean we automatically hear him. For many people, unfortunately, while the Holy Spirit's in there, we're not living with a real sensitivity to or an awareness of paying attention to the Holy Spirit. We go through our days just limited to what we understand or see. And we wonder at the end of our day, what was that about? What did I miss out on? Well, too often we have missed out on a lot. But he doesn't want that. And so this morning is an encouragement to make sure we don't come short of what he wants to do. So having said that, the first way we can walk by faith and be aware of spiritual realities is learning to be sensitive to the working of the Holy Spirit as he speaks to our lives. I have never seen the Holy Spirit, but I know he's at work. I know he's in me. And I know of his grace and mercy and wisdom and encouragement and strength and power and giftings, and on it goes. Because he just is. And that's part of how this thing works. How else does the Lord want to show us spiritual realities? How else can we see situations through God's eyes? By looking at things through the truth of his word. God gave us his word not just for us to stop at intellectually considering it, though some people do. And if we just let it be a head exercise, then we're going to miss out. Too many people don't let God's word make that 18-inch journey. We hear it, we kind of, oh, okay, I intellectually agree with that. But what about the heart? The seat of who I am, my will, my decisions, the basis of all those things. It needs to make sure it finds its way there too. God, we have the word of God so we can know the God of the word, right? And with this, he reveals who he is and his nature, his character, his attributes, what he has for us. It's not secret. He's got it for us. And so we're to use the Bible kind of like a pair of glasses when it comes to looking at situations and circumstances. If we want to see spiritual realities, we use the word of God like a pair of glasses. Now, if you wear glasses, maybe if you don't, you can understand the example. When you put your glasses on, you don't sit there and try to stare at the glass. No, you put the glasses on not to see the glass. The glasses are to look through to see things around you in a clearer way, right? That wasn't that bad example. That was a pretty good example. You look through your glasses not to see the glasses. You let that be what focuses on, help you see. God gave us this so we can look to his word, but then through his word, at situations and circumstances, to bring his truth to bear upon it. So when I hear that commercial, I can go, no, that's not true. God says this. When a temptation comes, I go, no, that's a lie, because God says this. See, I can look at circumstances through the word, and I have a clearer view. I can see the spiritual realities. It's for all of us to do. So the work of the Holy Spirit in helping me see spiritual realities, the work of God's word to helping us see, spiritual realities. What else? What does Elisha do here? What does Elisha do here that helps, in this case, his servant see his spiritual reality? What's it say? And Elisha prayed. Prayer is awesome for a lot of reasons, of course. But it says here, Elisha prays, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. The role of prayer. If we want to see spiritually, see spiritual realities, don't neglect prayer. It's just part of how it is. See, prayer is, of course, casting our cares on the Lord, making our petitions known. We're called to do that. But it's a two-way street. As we sit before the Lord and be quiet, he also can speak to our hearts. No, I don't hear God audibly. But through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, he places on our hearts. He speaks to us and gives us the reality. He can say, I know you feel this or think that, and he shows us, but here's this. Here's my take. And so prayer is such a key part of this. We neglect prayer, then wonder why we don't see. Important that we be praying. It's an important way that our spiritual vision is opened up. And lastly, for this morning, I go back to what I pointed out earlier about Elisha in this. How else do we see spiritually? What Elisha is pointing us to in particular here is the role of faith. We as human beings too often have this idea. Our motto kind of is, show me and I'll believe. And God goes, uh-uh. Believe and I'll show you. Because I don't want you trusting in what you see. I don't want you trusting in something, a circumstance. I want you trusting in me. So it's not, well, show me, Lord, and then maybe I'll trust you. No, you believe me, and then you'll see. Because he loves faith. He loves to see his children trusting him and having faith. And in doing that, he opens up spiritual realities to us. So the role of the Holy Spirit, the role of the Word, the role of prayer, the role of faith will give us spiritual eyes to see spiritual realities. Look at verse 16 again. So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Doesn't that remind us of something from our New Testament? Over here in 1 John. Went too fast. There he is. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Yes, there's an adversary. Yes, there's an enemy. Yes, those things go on out there. But you've overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who's in the world. It reminds us so much here where he says, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Even though there is an enemy of our soul out there, he does not compare in power to God. It's not a tug of war and we have to wait to see who's going to win this whole thing. The Lord has won. The victory is his. We celebrated that last weekend. But that's the case. And so that reminder, he's overcome. Greater is he that's in you, believer, than he that's in this world. Whatever circumstances you and I face, God can handle them. We may not be able to. Naturally speaking, yeah, maybe we're goners if we just had ourselves. But we don't have just ourselves. And there's nothing that comes along that God can't handle. God is never stumped. God never goes, whoa, that one's too big for me. Hope you make it. Let me know. See if you get out on the other side, okay. God's not going to do that. He holds us in his hand. He never leaves or forsakes. And there's nothing he can't handle. That's the reality that we need to see and remember as we face these things. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Again, yeah, I know you see all these forces out here, but hey, there's more with us. What can we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, a lot of people can be against us. If you read Romans 8, the idea of this statement is this. Oh, people can be against you, but they can't prevail. The enemy can try to bring accusations, but he won't find any hearing in God's court. For God is our attorney, God is our judge, and he's already, the verdict's been rendered. And the enemy will find no standing there. And no matter what might come along, if God is for us, who can be against us? Again, he's greater. He's greater than all those things. These are spiritual realities. And as we look at God through the truth of these things, these truths that we're considering, as we look at our circumstances through those truths, then all of a sudden we begin to have a peace. Now the Bible talks about having a peace that passes understanding. The idea is the circumstance maybe hasn't changed. It still seems on a natural realm to be a stumper. How the hell I can ever get out of that? How am I going to work that out? And yet, Lord, I'm having a peace in this. Because he gives a peace, again, not rooted in our understanding, not rooted in seeing it all work out. It's in him. And all of a sudden, where there was a fear, there's a peace. Where there was discouragement, there's a hope. Because that's the fruit of seeing spiritual realities, that he's greater and he can handle it. How many here have ever seen the wind? How many here have ever seen the wind? Oh, you guys passed in flying colors. Not one person raised their hand in first service. I even told first service, I'll see how second service does. And you passed too. You're on to me. See, because if you had raised your hand, well, I've seen the wind, then I in love would have said, no, you haven't. What do you mean? I see the wind all the time. No, you never have. You've never seen the wind. The wind is moving air. Air is invisible. If you see the air between me right now, if you see something, let me know. But we don't see air. We breathe it. We need it. We don't see it. We look through it. And all wind is what? Pressure systems get in there and compress and all these things, and the heat comes up, and the air gets to moving. And we call it wind. But we don't see wind. Again, we see the results of wind, don't we? We see dirt being blown around. We see the leaves flying around. We see the effects of wind, but we don't see the wind. But now one of you here, would say, I don't see the wind, therefore I don't believe it exists. I don't see the wind, there must never be a wind. Yeah, that won't work. Because you know, you've seen the results of it. You don't see the wind, you see the results. But because of the results, you know wind exists. Again, I haven't seen the Holy Spirit, but I know He exists because I have seen and experienced His work. And many of your heads right there nodded, yes, because we know that, don't we? We don't doubt He exists because we've been the recipients of His work, as He's worked in us or through us. So we don't doubt there's a wind. Don't doubt about God. Don't doubt about the Holy Spirit. Don't doubt about how He works. Jesus said in John chapter 3, starting in verse 5, Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We must be born again, the scriptures teach us. You must be born physically, and you must be born spiritually. And it happens when you receive Jesus as Savior. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. Again, just highlighting what we just said. We don't see the Holy Spirit, but everyone who belongs to Him, we have the privilege of seeing Him blow where He would, move as He would, direct as He wants to. We get to see the impact of the Holy Spirit in our life or through our life. And may I emphasize that for just a moment? When I face different circumstances, I always try to remember. In any certain circumstance that comes along in our day, there's usually one of two things going on, and typically both. And they are this. Whatever circumstance comes along, either God wants to work through that circumstance in our lives, or He wants to work through our lives in that circumstance. Let me say that again. Something comes along, either God's trying to work through that circumstance into our lives, teach us something about Him or whatever it might be, because we're under construction still. You do know we're not perfect yet, right? We haven't arrived yet. He's still at work, and it will be till we get home, the home. But so that circumstance, He wants to work in my life through that. There's something He's trying to teach me about Him or something. Or He wants to work through me in the circumstance. And usually I find it's both. Usually in any given circumstance, there's something He wants to do in me and through me. Because we are under construction still. And so that idea, the Holy Spirit blowing around, moving, like I said, it's wind. And as we let Him do that, He does what He wants to do, we're the benefit. We benefit from it. And our circumstances become the opportunity for that as He moves in all of our lives. As we come up against the armies of Syria, so to speak, as we seem to be surrounded by our circumstances, the call this morning, the question is, will we look at those things with our natural eyes and senses and arrive at faulty conclusions? Or will we let God do for us in the spiritual realm what He did here in the natural realm for this servant? The call this morning is to look at our trials, our tribulations, through eyes of faith, through the glasses of His Word, through prayer and by listening and being very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. If we'll do that, we can find that joy that He has for us in the middle of what we go through. We can have that peace that passes understanding. And that would be the case if we will find ourselves looking up with assurance rather than around in panic. The servant panicked because he was looking around. And in essence, Elisha said, "Here, let me show you something. If we'll look up instead of just around, God can bring to bear His realities upon our situation." Look at verse 16 one more time with me. "So he answered," this is Elijah speaking to his servant, "do not fear." What a good word for all of us this morning. And I wonder if it might not be a word for you in particular. I hope there's been something already that spoke to you or encourages you or got a challenge in the right way. But I wonder who might just to stop and hear just that right there. Do not fear. The call. Don't panic. Don't be afraid. And notice, this isn't a baseless encouragement. Elisha doesn't say to his servant, "Well, I know it looks bad, but I just want you to kind of pretend. Just pretend that it's okay. Just kind of, just go la, 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 and act like it's not there. You'll be okay." No, that's not what God's asking. It's not a baseless encouragement. The horses and the chariots were really there. He just didn't know it yet. He didn't see it. God really is there. He really is all powerful. This really is His Word. He speaks to us about Him through this. It's real. It's not baseless. And it's available to each one of us and all we're going through. Elisha and his servant alone against the army of Syria, they've had it. They're goners. Add in God's resources and the Syrians have had it. They're goners. So it is with us. Your circumstances without God, but with Him, more than conquerors. With Him, be of good cheer, I've overcome. With Him, I'll never leave or forsake you. With Him, He holds us in the palm of His hand. On and on the encouragements go. May we always remember to look with spiritual eyes on all the things that come along. It's a great privilege to be able to do so. And it's each one to receive Christ. It's ours. As we look with spiritual eyes, what we will see are the resources of God. We will walk in a life of victory, unless there be no trials. That's the point. It's when these forces come along that He brings Himself to bear against them, that we can see we have victory, that the victory is His. We'll have peace. We'll have peace where there was some fear and turmoil. We'll have a joy where there was such discouragement. How does it start? Lord, I pray, open our eyes. I'm going to invite the worship team up. For now, it's our time to respond. And I pray we would indeed respond. Let me give you a few suggestions how we might respond as the team comes up. Maybe you this morning need to see some things from God's viewpoint. Maybe somehow the circumstances of your life have gotten your eyes on the circumstances because they are real and they're scary or they're discouraging. And maybe it's got you doubting or fearful or whatever it might be. And God in His love this morning would want to help all of us see things through His eyes to give us His viewpoint this morning. Elisha prayed for this young man. Maybe that's a good place to start. This morning, I want to invite you. You need to see some things from God's viewpoint. Some circumstances have been right there, and you can't really see beyond it, and you're wondering how it's going to go. I want to offer you the altar. We often offer altar time to come up and deal with God about maybe confessing a sin or something. But I want to offer the altar today just for an opportunity to come up and just to spend a few moments in prayer and say, God, give me your viewpoint on this. Lord, you know what I'm going through. Give me your take on it. Help me begin to see a little better with spiritual eyes, the spiritual realities around me. I want to offer the altar to you. If you have anything that might apply to you in that way, take it up. I'm not going to bug you or ask you anything, but maybe that's a good place to start to bring all this to bear. For all of us, let's let the Holy Spirit give us eyes to see the spiritual realities around us and the power that we have in God to face it, His sufficiency, His faithfulness. Let's learn to bring to bear the truth of God's Word into our circumstances. Let's learn to be continually just receptive to the Holy Spirit's leading. Let's have faith in the author of the Word of God. Let's be active in prayer. I guess I'm just saying, bottom line, may we just, like Elisha said, Lord, give us eyes that we may see. You, Lord, in the midst of all we go through. Father, to that end, we pray. I pray you'll minister to hearts right now and apply all this as you'd have it to be. Don't let us just intellectually consider this, but Lord, we ask that you would indeed, by the Holy Spirit now, speak to our hearts, speak to our circumstances. Lord, for any of us that need to get your viewpoint on something, let it be that kind of a time now. We just choose to respond, and we choose to respond in giving you thanks and praise. Thank you for all we find in you. In Jesus' name, amen.